Welcome to this, our Sunday message, Sunday the 29th of September 2024. To begin with, let's read two scriptures from the Word. We start with Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. Exodus chapter 4, 1 to 5. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." And he, the Lord, said, "Cast it on the ground," and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. "That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Let's turn to the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Father God, we thank you for your word. We receive it this morning, and we thank you for the blessing that your word contains for us as we take it into our hearts and allow it to do what only your word can do by the Holy Spirit, that is, change us and equip us for your purpose on this earth. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. The title of this message is Embracing Our Gift. Embracing Our Gift. We have been speaking about purpose and the fact that every one of us has a purpose on this earth and that God wants us to fulfill that purpose in our lifetime. Very closely related to this is the fact that if God calls us to do something, it's His responsibility to equip us. If a nation calls up young men for armed service, it is the duty of that nation to provide them with weapons, food, uniforms, backup, etc., etc. When God calls us to do what we've been ordained to do, please note that He has already equipped us. And that equipping very often takes the form of some form of gift or another. We need to realize that a gift on its own is not the purpose for a gift. Some ability that we have is placed in us for a larger purpose. But that's a subject all on its own. The point is, in this passage of scripture in Exodus, we know that Moses had fled from Egypt, and after many years in the wilderness, tending sheep, the day comes where he bumps into God in the form of a burning bush. And God speaks to him out of that burning bush and gives him instructions. He tells him to go back to Egypt and take his people out of captivity. That's a very daunting task if you're a humble shepherd on the outskirts of a desert and you are asked to confront one of the most powerful political nations in the then known world. So like all of us, I suppose, Moses said, "Well, how will I do this? What must I tell my people when I get there?" The thing that God says to him, which he says to many of us in many ways, "What is it that you have in your hand?" On this occasion, Moses says, "Well, I've got the staff that I've been using to herd sheep for so many years." And then God gives him instruction. Well, we know what happens. He throws the staff down. It turns into a serpent. And quite understandably, Moses flees away from it. I'm sure most of us would flee from a serpent, especially if our staff had suddenly turned into one. But in the greater picture, let's understand that Moses is essentially fleeing from the very thing that God wants to use. Very often, I've discovered we humans have this tendency, surprisingly enough, to flee from the very thing that God has given us. Very often, we flee from our gifting. God wants us to embrace our gift. If we are ever to fulfill our purpose, we have to learn to embrace the gift that God has given us, or gifts as the case may be. The question is, why is it that we would flee from them? Why would a soldier turn his back on a weapon that the nation wants him to use to fight with? There are a number of reasons, and a few of them we're going to discuss right here. First of all, let's bear in mind something. Whatever gift you and I have brings with it responsibility. A gift on its own, a gift alone, will not fulfill its purpose. It has to be tended. If we read in Proverbs 18 verse 16, it says, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." There's two ways of looking at that scripture. The one is that a gift is a bribe, but it can also be read in the sense of your and my particular gifting has the potential to bring us out and up, to make a mark, as it were. Now, the point is this, that you might have a great gift, but if you and I do not develop that gift, we do not tend that gift, it will not achieve the purpose for which it was given. You think of somebody who has a fine singing voice, but for whatever reason, they don't train it, they don't develop it, they don't put in the time necessary to stretch and exercise. That voice, as fine as it may be, will not be heard by audiences throughout the world. And very often you and I as human beings, for some reason, we shirk responsibility. When we have a gift in our lives, it takes a sense of responsibility to tend that gift. And because many people, I believe, don't want that responsibility, they say, well, not for me. And you see, in the end of the day, without that gift being developed, we are unable to fulfill the destiny for which we were planted on this earth. So let's understand something. Whatever gift you and I have, with it comes responsibility. Let's not be like Moses and run away from that responsibility. Let's take it by the tail, as it were, and let that gift rise up in our lives and fulfill the function for which it was intended. That's one reason. Fear of taking responsibility. I'm sure Moses, in a sense, would rather have stayed in the desert rather than confront Pharaoh, who the last one was trying to kill him. Anyway, that's one reason why I believe a lot of us shirk our responsibility. We do not take up our gift, and because of that, we can't be used by God the way He wants us to be used. The second reason is very closely related. It's an attitude which says, this gift, I'm not really worthy to use it. It puts itself out in a very spiritual form, but actually, it's well-disguised pride. I'm not saying that's always the case, but it so easily can be. You see, we might be proud that if we take hold of the gift, we go with that gift, and what if it fails? What if it doesn't achieve? Or, in some cases, we feel that that gift will puff us up, you see. We spoke to one man who had a gift of healing. In the early days of his ministry, he prayed for many people and saw many people healed. But when he was talking to us, he said he stopped doing it because he felt that it was drawing too much attention to him. Well, I understand that he has a point of view, and it's not for me to criticize someone else's opinion of himself. But what about that scripture we read in Matthew 5, 14 to 16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's not a good excuse to say, oh, well, it's bringing too much attention to me. That's like saying, well, my rugby team lost, so let me just break the TV screen with a golf club. It doesn't make sense, really. If a gifting is, you think, bringing too much attention to yourself, direct that attention away. If we do have a problem with pride, deal with the pride. Don't ignore the gift. Dealing with pride is something everyone has to do all the time. And can I just say that if we don't deal with it and we're really honest with God, He will deal with it. It could be rather embarrassing on occasions. But rather that than see a gift wasted, what about all the people that could be blessed? And in the process, learn to give the glory where it belongs to God. There's another interesting scripture about rods that I stumbled upon the other day. In the book of Hebrews, when it speaks about the great people of faith, Hebrews 11 verse 21, it says there, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. I read that and I thought, what has leaning on the top of his staff got to do with blessing the sons? When I thought about it, did a bit of research, came to my attention that that's the very person who wrestled with an angel. The angel touched his hip. From that day on, he walked with a limp and he had to have a staff. What's the significance of the staff? Well, you see, he leaned on the staff. What he was saying is he realized that blessing his children depended what? On God. Depended on God. Not him, it depended on God. He had to lean on his staff. He had that reminder of his encounter with the living God. Any gift in your and my hands will only operate if it is anointed by the living God. The gift in itself is worthless, but in the hands of God, it can change the course of history. Very often people will say, well, I don't really have a gift. Moses obviously had no idea that the staff in his hands would one day deliver the nation of Israel from Egypt. But that's the point, you see. The staff couldn't do it. The staff was simply a piece of wood. However, when that staff was given up to God and God placed his hand on it, that's what gave it the power to work great miracles, to send plagues, to part oceans. Now you see, we come along and say, well, we don't really have a gift. And God says, well, what about that gift of hospitality that you've got? But so what? See, that's the mistake we make. We don't realize that something we've walked with all our lives is the very thing God wants to use. But it's not the gift itself. It's when God anoints the gift. When you and I are available for Him to anoint a gift, there's no telling what it can do, no matter how big or small it may be in our minds. There was a man in America who was struggling financially, and he asked himself, Christian man, by the way, what is it that I can do? Well, his mother, I think, had taught him how to cook biscuits, what we'd call choc chip cookies. In that day and age, in America, the choc chip cookie, as it were, was like a Rolls Royce of cookies. Anyway, his name was Amos, and he decided he's going to make cookies and sell them. Well, he started selling these cookies, and the whole thing, because of his enthusiasm, actually took off. It became a multi-million dollar industry. And it has, even to this day, a name. Famous Amos Choc Chip Cookies. Turned over millions of dollars. All it took was just taking one little gifting that he had and using it. And with God's grace, it made all the difference. What God is saying to you and I is this, that we mustn't be afraid. We mustn't think, oh, well, I don't have that preaching gift. I don't have that singing voice. I'm not anointed like that. That's not the point. What God is looking for is what He has placed in us. Our responsibility is not to be afraid of it, not to be like Moses and run away. We need to take hold of that gift, recognize what it is, take responsibility, take ownership of it, develop it, and allow God's anointing to use that gift in whatever way He chooses fit. Another reason why many of us shy away from our gift is because perhaps we see somebody else with a similar gift and they use their gift at a greater level than we possibly ever thought we could. You might think of a musical gift. And there will always be somebody who is more gifted or less gifted than we are, or better developed or better talented. But you see, the problem is we start to think, oh, well, because we don't work at that level, we mustn't develop our gift. That's a misunderstanding. What we need to grasp is that any gift in the hands of any person, if they use it for God and allow His anointing to come upon that gift, God will use it for His glory wherever and however is necessary. If we make the mistake of thinking, well, that person's got a much better voice than me, so if I start to sing now, they will think I'm silly by comparison, we are actually operating in pride. We are saying that the gift God gave us is not good enough. There are preachers that we know of, and Moses actually had the same problem. One of his other excuses before God was, well, I can't speak properly. So I can't go and tell my people that God sent me. Well, God, as you know, was very patient with him and ultimately gave him his brother, Aaron, to help him with the speaking. But there are preachers, some of them world-renowned, who started off life with a stutter. Imagine a group of people, and of all the people there, there's one person who can't even speak because he stutters. In the natural, who would think that that one person would become the greatest preacher of everyone? You see, our minds don't understand these things. God's looking for you and I to use our gift as best we can where we are. Once we do that, we leave the rest to Him. And there's no telling what God can do with that particular gift. Another story that really blessed me was a man who was in the children's church ministry, Sunday school teacher. And he came to retirement age and he was thinking of giving up teaching. And he thought to himself, I've achieved very little here. Nobody notices me. And while he was thinking these very thoughts, somebody knocked at the door. And there was a young man who had been in his Sunday school class. And he said, I've come to tell you a story. The situation was in a war of some description, where this young man was in a very dire situation, where everything looked totally lost. And he said, in that situation, a song that you taught me in Sunday school came to mind. And I sang that song, and God turned the whole thing around. What is my point? You see, you and I are not expected to plan it all out. We start to think, oh, well, my gift will not be as good as that one. It will never achieve anything, etc., etc. Well, take our gift, develop it as best we can, and use it anyway, and give God the opportunity. And let God use that gift for whatever purpose He deems in His great scheme of things. And the other side, when we get there, we might be very, very surprised. One final story is a young man who, in the mountains of Lesotho, called by God, very enthused with the kingdom of heaven, and he was invited to a meeting to lead the praise and worship. So he took his guitar, and there was a problem. For a start, the guitar was missing a string, and he didn't know how to tune it. It was out of tune. However, before the meeting, he spent hours in prayer and intercession. He arrived at the meeting with his guitar that was out of tune, missing a string or two, and he proceeded to lead worship. The moment he played that out-of-tune guitar and began to sing, the power of God came into that meeting apparently, and the glory of God filled the whole place. There's nothing that God can't do, but He has to have some point of contact, you see. And that's what Moses' staff was. If Moses had said, no, this is just a piece of wood, it can't work, it wouldn't have worked. He would have pronounced those curses on Egypt and nothing would happen. He would have raised the staff and the sea wouldn't have parted. He would have struck the rock and the water wouldn't have flowed. The point is, you and I have got gifts. God wants to empower those gifts, give them supernatural empowerment. But he can't do that unless you and I are prepared to embrace our gifting, whatever it may be. Giftings, as the case may be. We have to embrace them. We have to take responsibility. We have to step up and recognize this is what God has given me. Now let me give it back to him and allow him to use it for his glory. My brother and sister, if we have that attitude, who knows what you'll do with your little business? Who knows what you'll do with your cooking ability? Who knows what he'll do with your obedience to teach the word of God? Who knows what he will do with your love for planting flowers? Embrace the gift, whatever it may be. Allow God to increase it. Allow God to bless it and use it for his glory. In the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.